Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. 10 to 2 on 670 The
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air from American Family Field in Milwaukee. It's time for the fifth and final game, the decisive game of this National League Division Series between the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Don't let the Cubs get
payoff pitch. Driven toward left center on the run. Carl Armstrong back toward the wall. That ball is gone for a home run. Home run for Contreras. And Milwaukee takes a 1-0 lead.
Bring out the tarp. Cover the field. I can't watch this anymore. It's over.
I didn't hear no bell.
Here's a high fly ball. Deep right center. Goes back as Perkins near the wall. That ball is gone. Seiya Suzuki with a home run, and the ball game is tied 1-1.
Eddie Vedder said, "We are alive!"
Now the 3-2 pitch to Vaughn. Fly ball, deep left field, trouble, back goes Happ near the wall. That ball is gone for a home run.
Going Vaughn.
And the Cubs are down to their last chance. Trailing 3-1 here in the ninth inning. He hits a bouncer to short. Fielded by Ortiz over the first. It's all over. Milwaukee wins the National League Division Series 3-2.
How would you describe the feelings, the conversations after the game in the clubhouse and just the emotions you're feeling right now?
You know, I think this team did a lot to honor the Chicago Cub uniform.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Well, I will see you in spring training, partner.
That sounds good.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ah, yes, Requiem for a Playoff Run. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Scores. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news on The Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Game Day. Presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Remember football? Remember the Bears? Bears?
Bears. TTN.
TTN will happen also.
Now that the Cubs have sunk.
That's Mark Grody.
Wow.
That's Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Rahimi. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on The Score. That open was courtesy of Robbie Triano. He put it together and suffered for you to remember the Cubs playoff run. Ray Diaz is our producer as well. Brandon Fryer helps us out, along with Tyler Farengul, who is in today. Baby T helping us. You can call us. You can text us 312-644-6767. And you can find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Curtis, and Max Stutz are our video team. And while we do pay our respects to the Cubs playoff run at 10:45, Remember Bears?
Oh, yeah.
I don't. It's been so long. It's been 83 years since I've seen a Bears game.
83.
Or 15 days, which still feels like 83 years, given the context of what we've been focused on pretty much for the last 2 weeks, which is the Cubs. I get it. I really do. But I think it's been well worth the wait when we talk about what's happening tonight.
I reacquainted myself with the Bears over the weekend, as a matter of fact. I was like, shot in the dark. I think I'll go out to Halas Hall. It was on a Saturday. On game day, Cubs day. I said to myself, I'm going to have myself a Bears day and a Cubs day on this day. So I started with the Bears, and then I went out to watch the Cubs game, and things didn't go well. And for some reason, when I heard this, the sad part of that opening, this is where my brain went. I thought of, this is weird, I thought of the movie Titanic, and I thought of when Jack is going under, and Kate Winslet's character is going, come back, Jack, come back. Come back. And then he just wouldn't come back. It was so close.
I submit that that plank was big enough for the both of them. I do submit that.
That he could have been saved.
Yeah, he could have been saved.
Absolutely.
You think she wanted his ass to float?
Why did she throw the jewelry into the ocean? Sorry, we just ruined Titanic for you.
Is that a spoiler alert?
Jack.
Yes, 100% it is.
Come back. Well, bring him back. Pull him up. Don't just keep telling him to come back.
Who'd you feel that way about?
Well, I just felt that way about the Cubs season just slowly sinking. And the reason I felt that way is because it felt like the Cubs could have very easily have gotten back into that game.
We'll get into
and
that.
They didn't.
We'll get into that at 10:45. In the meantime, this is football time. And that's what it is. You know,
Thank you.
This is how we do this. And yes, the Cubs playoff run was a well-timed diversion, I feel like, for all of us. And unfortunately, I say diversion because typically the plan is we talk more Bears this time of year. I'm not lamenting it. I was happy they were in the playoffs. But unfortunately, Bears. That game Saturday night kind of let you know what was going on. And we will get into that in two segments. In the meantime, let's rewind. Let's go back in time to 2 years ago when the Bears had a mini bye. And it was related to the Commanders as well. Huh. The Commanders have seemed to provide weird benchmarks for the Bears in their seasons. Sometimes they are the flashpoint and the beginning of a failure, like last year. Sometimes they are the mini bye catalyst, like they were 2 years ago, where the offense was retooled and we saw a little bit more out of the then offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy. We pointed to this week and the culmination of what was going to happen today. Ben Johnson did as well. This was going to be a pivotal point for the team when it came to trying to figure out his better grasp on personnel, his better grasp on offensive concept. And we finally get to see it happen tonight. This should be the best indication we have of what Ben Johnson thinks now of his team with real time and real game experience behind it. So the better question then becomes, against a very good Commanders team, what are we going to see?
Well, the thing I'm most excited about is that we're going to see a team that's as healthy as it's been all season. The healthiest version, with Kyler Gordon coming back, with TJ Edwards back, with a bunch of guys that have been on the injury report for the last two games, now off of that injured designation. We're going to see a fully strong team, a team that's had a couple of weeks to get it together, if you will. And I think that's where the fate of this game anyway lies, in that, okay, Ben Johnson, you told us at the outset of the season about how things would look different after the bye. Hey, guess what? It's after the bye. Your team is 2-2. And if you get a win today, this would be not only the biggest win of the season, but I think going in, it's the biggest game of the season. It is a flashpoint, but it is much more than that because of what is possible for the Bears if they win this game.
I love that the Bears have some guys back on defense, obviously TJ Edwards and Kyler Gordon. And what I'm really thinking about, too, is that Washington's offense is weakened right now. If people have not heard, Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, is out for this game. Noah Brown, who caught the Hail Mary pass last year, is out.
Avoided that one.
so that won't happen again. There's no way they can run a Hail Mary play without Noah Brown. One of their running backs, Chris Rodriguez Jr., is questionable. Like, he's not their biggest earner, biggest runner on the team, obviously. That distinction goes to Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. But, in other words, This is a chance for the Bears defense to maybe pick up where they were last time we saw them in terms of the turnover portion of this game. Like, maybe you can rattle Jaden Daniels to some degree. Like, he started to kick on all cylinders, I think, in the last game that they played. I think it was one of his better games. But, you know, he's only played in three games this year, and he is not maxed out yet this year. So I do think there's some areas you can take advantage of Washington.
You're hoping to hell you better rattle Jaden Daniels, because they already, I think, are going to be pretty one-dimensional at will today. Like, that's the other issue with this, is that we know how good the Commanders are at running the football, and it does not match up well with the Bears run defense. Bears run defense by stats is the second worst in the NFL. The Washington Commanders run offense is the best in the league at 156.4 yards a clip. And the Bills are behind them, and then the Panthers and the Falcons and the Jets. But when it's married to what the Commanders are trying to do as a team and their success, you know, 1-2 kind of let you know that's how they're running the offense. Frankly, also as an aside, I think that Ben Johnson would love to have his team at least in the top 10 in rushing yards per game. And unfortunately, the Bears have struggled in that department according to what he wants to see them do. You know, that's the other side of this. In a way, they're almost a mirror, because they're doing the thing you want to do better. And they're using it to open up that deep passing game when it is effective. Terry McLaurin out is a big deal. And as you mentioned, with Noah Brown also being out, that limits it. And I think we are debating how we feel about whether or not Deebo Samuel is questionable or if he's going to play. I feel like that's kind of split amongst all of us, too.
Are you not praying that Deebo Samuel doesn't play? Is that not kind of the way?
I don't know. I wonder if they just didn't practice him on Saturday to give him rest.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I can't call it on that. But the guy that actually scares me a little bit, too, is, and he should, because tight ends have been doing damage against the Bears for about a year and a half now, Zach Ertz.
Take the over, people.
Who last year, for whatever it's worth,
had a great game extending drives against the Bears last year.
Seven catches for 77 yards against the Bears last year. I always look to the tight ends, and Ertz is a guy who can still burn you a little bit.
And he did. Like, he was a big reason that drives were extended. He was a huge part of that offense and their success last season against the Bears, yes.
But I feel like this is an opportunity for Ben Johnson and for Dennis Allen, for that defense to really get it together, because you should be stop the run, because we already know Scary Terry is out. Deebo Samuel might not play. And you're looking around saying, well, who's going to catch the football for the Commanders? You mentioned Zach Ertz, but really, it's can you stop Bill? Or Little Bill, or whatever you want to call him. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt.
I don't know if you know
where he was drafted. I don't know if you
seventh
know.
Round. He's their Manungai.
No, he's actually his own, because it was past Kyle Manungai.
They could have had Bill. They could have had him. They said, we're going to get Kyle Manungai. Oh. But as Ben Johnson told us, it's not the running back's fault that they haven't been able to run the football. So I found that very interesting. So, like, that's where I am with this game, is understanding several things. Obviously, it's the payback, get back, if you will, for what happened with the Fail Mary. It's also Tyrique Stevenson, you know, redemption game opportunity. But ultimately, the stat that I've been kind of just burned into my brain right now is that as it stands right now, the Bears have been averaging 25.3 points per contest. That is good enough for top 10 in the NFL.
Yeah.
If they continue to score like that tonight, they can get a win.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody getting you ready for a Bears game. We finally have one tonight, and it's on primetime. The nice thing, too, about this game being an island game, if you will, is that it's not going to face the same scrutiny that the previous Bears Monday night games have faced. Like, there's not going to be a criticism of the overuse of the screen game, for example, even though the Bears want to use it more. It's not going to be a microscope into why the Bears are dysfunctional. Like, that's something I'm also looking forward to. Is this really just becomes a learning mission for everybody watching nationally tonight about who they want to see this Bears team be? It's not going to be the typical, as we've seen in the years past, like, oh, this is why you guys are bad. And then it becomes the narrative and, like, the discussion on national shows for a week or 10 days
So you're saying they're not going to embarrass themselves on national TV tonight? Is that what you're saying?
I say they're not going to embarrass themselves. I still think they probably lose.
Well, I mean, you saw what they did against the Raiders. They gave up 240 rushing yards, and they couldn't take advantage of turnovers on offense.
They still won.
So you think magically they're going to look better on national TV?
You're putting a lot of words in my mouth. Okay. I don't think it's magically. I think that this is an offense that is trying to figure out who it is. And we've talked about that. Like, oh, they don't know their team identity. Do I think that the run defense is going to suffer against the Commanders? You could argue that they could run the ball every down based on the matchup. But that still means, like, when you're trying to figure out who this team is going to become and why they're bad, it's not as dysfunctional. Right now, it's personnel based. Like, they still found a way to beat the Raiders. You know, they are still scoring more points per game than they have in the past.
If they allow 240 rushing yards to Washington, the Bears will get embarrassed tonight.
Well, yeah.
You think it's that simple? Because it takes more time to run a ball than it does to pass. But Jaden Daniels lost one.
Bears, you're right. Win is a win. That's great. You win dirty, gritty games in the NFL. I guess everybody does. If the Bears play like that in any more games this year, they will lose. So I just don't see the evidence necessarily to suggest the Bears won't lay an egg. I mean, I don't think they will. I am picking Washington to win the game, but not by a blowout.
But can you understand why it's not going to look as bad? Like, the Bears were dysfunctionally bad at times with the play calling on Monday Night Football.
That's true.
They were dysfunctionally bad with the personnel decisions they had made. Might I remind you of the Monday Night Football game against the Vikings last year? They were dysfunctionally bad at execution. Remember in the Vikings game when the referee says he forgot to report when they were trying to do a trick play? Like, you're not going to see that
Another reason why this one won't be as embarrassing, even if it is bad, is remember, they're not the only Monday night game, number one. Number two, when the Bills and the Falcons kick off, that's before the Bears game starts. So you'll have a lot of people who are nationally focused on that game until it either gets disinteresting or it's over. And who knows what might happen in the time that that takes to transpire.
I think the Bills will win that game pretty easily.
By the way, I want to be clear here. I am not calling for the Bears to be embarrassed on national TV tonight. But what I am saying is to Layla, I'll make it very clear. It's a bold statement to say the Chicago Bears won't embarrass themselves on national TV because they've done it so much in the last 10 years of their existence.
Okay.
So when I heard that, there's a reaction that I get. I don't want that to happen. I'm not calling for that to happen, but that's pretty bold.
That's a lot of negativity. And here's why.
I've seen a lot.
Here's why, Mark, because you've seen a lot, but we're just talking about this season.
Right.
With this
two
head coach.
Horrible games and two okay games.
Okay, and which ones happened more recently, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I don't know. Do you think they played well last time? Or they won, but did they play well?
They played good enough to win. I think that they can do that again.
Answer.
I think they can do that again against this Washington team, partially because Washington is hurt in the playmaker area going into the game, but also because they've had 2 weeks to get it together and they've got TJ Edwards and Kyler Gordon back. I cannot sell you hard enough on Kyler Gordon's presence. If he's fully healthy, what that should make to this Bears defense.
I think it has more to do with TJ Edwards as far as the run game is concerned. Like, he knows how to work a run fit. And I'm not detracting from what Noah Sewell has done. I'm saying that it should, in theory, help the Bears' run game.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a bigger positive for this team when you consider how bad they have been at giving up yards against the run. Guys have been falling forward. Just falling forward and picking up 6 yards a carry.
Guess who else is good against the run? Kyler Gordon. I think it was Ben Johnson says he likes to get nosy in the run game. Kyler Gordon's pretty he will get nosy, I think. I think that's one of the I don't know if we're going to see Kyler. We could see Kyler Gordon on the outside. We could see him drifting back into safety territory. But I think his biggest assignment will be you are going to be helping and get nosy in the run game.
I want to see him everywhere. I want to see that man omnipresent. I want to see Dennis Allen do Dennis Allen things with a guy that he said.
I don't think he has the safety. I don't think he has the personnel to do the weird Dennis Allen things,
or
like the
Kyler
double
Gordon,
safety blitz that he wants to do and stuff like that.
He hasn't played a game yet this year. So I hear what you're saying. Lights, camera, action for Kyler. He has not played a game this year. So I don't know that you're going to see him.
So you're tempering the expectations.
I'm tempering maybe the amount of snaps he even gets.
I mean, I think the funny part is we're all in agreement here. And I don't mind anybody having their own opinions. I'm just simply saying, like, to me, in front of the world, on Monday Night Football, like, not having the personnel to stop the run is not nearly as dysfunctional as other Bears failures we've seen on this stage.
I hope you're right.
It's one they can overcome. That's all I'm saying. I think I think they're going to give some running yards, rushing yards, but I think that's something they can overcome and still win the game.
I don't want to lie to you. Do I think that they still lose this game? Yeah, I had it chalked up as an L. And I do think that they score their in the neighborhood of their average. I don't think that I can say anymore a 17 confidently in a score prediction.
It's going
to come
down
to the
turnovers.
I have to give them over 20. And that's how I feel about it, too. And that's a low bar for progress. But that's where I'm at right now.
Hey, I like it. And a texter says, Grody, they haven't had a coach like this in the past 10 years. I think you're right about that. I think Ben Johnson is a really good coach, but way too early to call that. And we'll like, I think this is a step towards his evaluation tonight because of the extra time to prepare, because of the opponent, because of last year, because it's on the road. So I do think that this will be an evaluation marker for Ben Johnson.
Absolutely, and that's how I feel. Like, I'm probably getting my most accurate look at what Ben Johnson wants this version of the team to look like tonight. And for that, I am excited. Not even worried. Not even suspicious.
I want to be
not
like you.
Not even skeptical.
I want to be like you. Hey, can you join me for Take the North after the game tonight?
Why, Mark, thank you for asking for this very first time, and we have never had this discussion. How funny you should mention that I will be watching the game tonight. Why, yes, I will join you.
I like the cut of your Bears jib, so I would like you. Yes, no, Layla will be filling
in. But you know what's
going to
happen? If they embarrass themselves, I'm going to be really upset about it. I'll vent on Take the North.
Okay, good. That's what that's.
And then
what,
I'll be like, this is their chance to not embarrass themselves.
I don't want to do the work. I need you to have like 7 hot takes ready. I'm going to just ask you questions and you could do the podcast.
There are some people in sports that I never want to see again. We'll see if anybody gets added to that list.
Ooh. Okay.
I doubt it, but that's a hot take. That's just one that I have loaded up in case, like, you know, I've said recently about the baseball playoffs. I'm like, I never want to see this person again.
Layla got a list. Ooh.
Of course I do.
Oh, man, that's scary. I don't want to be on that list.
You don't. You know what, though? We found out a guy is on a good list for the Bears, but it is unexpected. So we will examine the rise to fame, power, glory, availability, starting. All of that next on Raheem Harrison Grody on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, I said, and I'll say it again, we'll go as long as we need to go to find the right guy, but we'd like to see someone go ahead and make it clear to us that he is that guy. And we just haven't seen that yet as a staff. There's been too much up and down, and so we have to reassess after a couple weeks of the season, or by the bye week, we might have to reassess.
Oh, I see what you did there, Robbie Bob Tree Triano. I see what you did there. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we are getting you ready for a Bears game. Feels nice to say that. It's been a minute. Before Chicago takes on Washington, tune in tonight from 6 to 7:15 for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. It'll include Patrick Manley and Mully. Get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, Olin, Pat, and Chuck Swirsky. We'll have instant reaction on the postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Turo Tire. All of it can be heard tonight on The Score and the Odyssey app. We said earlier in our last segment, talking about how Ben Johnson and the Bears pointed to the bye week as the point for evaluation. At that point, Ben Johnson had the best look at his team that he had had since he got the job. Real game experience, time to evaluate. Did it come a little early than maybe they would have liked? Yes, but we knew that something was probably going to change. And lo and behold, Mark Grody, it did.
I took my act to Soldier Field on Soldier Field to Lake Forest on Saturday because Ben Johnson was speaking and there was an open locker room. So I will share part one of my little dance through Hallis Hall here. But first, let me set this up for you. As you guys might remember, earlier this week, I took a crack at asking Ben Johnson who his starting left tackle would be. It did not work out. He did not tell me the answer. Now, on Saturday, another reporter, and you're going to hear all this, Sean Hammond of the Chicago Tribune, was the one to pick up the mantle because I couldn't ask twice. I was not about to go 0-2 this week. So you will hear that in succession. You will hear my try at the beginning of the week, and then you will hear the success story, which you might find entertaining. Here it is.
Anything new offensive line-wise that you know who your left tackle is going to be?
We have a good idea who our left tackle is.
Not ready to reveal that to us.
Ben, the other day you weren't ready to share who your left tackle is going to be. I'm just curious if maybe you are today.
Yeah, it'll be Theo. Okay.
Oh, look at that. Oh, man. Thanks, Ben.
Go Cubs.
Saturday. Wow.
Here they go, Cubs. In there.
Yeah, all of that. Oh, look at that.
Thought
Cubs.
You guys would like that.
It was the pause.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I left every second.
Were you on the edge of your seat at that point?
We all kind of were, but you could tell because he had this look in his eyes like he was about to reveal it, but he wanted to entertain us just a little bit. And it's funny, too, like taking you behind the scenes. Jason Leisure had a little back and forth recently with Ben Johnson in regards to, why won't you just tell us what's going on with stuff? So
just tell me the name of the movie you want to see.
Right, and we'll get into more of that in my second spin through the locker room, I think around 1 o'clock, to be continued with some of the fun with Ben Johnson. But we now know it is official. We had anticipated this, you know, again, behind the curtain again. We were seeing that in the practices. Couldn't really report that to people, but we were seeing that alignment. So we had a pretty good idea that Benedet would be the starting left tackle for the Chicago Bears, which is a pretty big deal for him. Let's hear from Mr. Benedet on this big day, his first start at the left tackle position. And here is Theo Benedet by his locker a couple of days ago.
What has this rise for you been like after having spent the year on the practice squad last year? You obviously start at right tackle, move over to left tackle. Here you are starting at left tackle. How does that hit you?
Yeah, it's really rewarding, I would say, because it's, you know, you put a lot of work into it, as everybody does, but fortunate to be in a good situation, obviously, to have the opportunity. And I just want to play football, you know, at the end of the day. That's what I have fun doing. So it's just great to get out there and be able to play.
What made the difference for you?
Another offseason, I would say. Another season of feeling comfortable in NFL schemes. Another season in the weight room, getting stronger, hitting physical targets that have helped me a lot. And a great coaching staff this year, as I've always had, that really invested in me.
Do you view this as an arrival for you, or do you feel like you're going to have to defend this every play?
Oh, I think you definitely have to defend it every play. We have a really talented group, not only in this locker room, but in the NFL generally. So, you know, that's what one of the first things you learn is as soon as you're in this building, they're trying to replace you. So,
as a follow-up to what Jason asked, like, what did they tell you? Like, is this they said you are indefinitely the starter at left tackle? Did they tell you it's a tryout? What did they say?
No, I mean, I don't think they said either of those things. They just said this is, you know, you'll be the starter this week and to go out there and compete and show them what you can do. And, you know, obviously I have every intention of playing for as long as I can there, and yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
I think Theo Benedet will have an extended stay at left tackle.
I got to say, there's some twists and turns in that interview.
Do tell.
Are you feeling that, too?
Oh, I definitely am
like,
feeling
Marshall
it.
Like, Marshall and I think, both perked up at the same thing.
I want to hear
it. Was it where he said, they're going to replace you? Like, they're looking to replace you? That was like nihilist Theo Benedet for a second there.
But was it, Layla? Like, I heard the exact same thing you heard, and you, as you said, I perked up at the same time because I thought about it, processed it, and I was like, oh, he's got that college head or NFL head coach mentality. You're hired to be fired, and knowing that there's always going to be a wave of people behind you it's not for long. And he's not a guy who was even drafted, so he doesn't have the same perspective maybe as guys who've been catered to their whole lives that get put in the position he's in now.
Well, also, that's how he came to be. You know, he was on the practice squad. He was a guy who had to hustle his way in. He was a guy who had to get ready to stay ready. You know, that's how he got in with this team. And I will say this. if you watch the games, especially the late preseason games, late in the game, when he would be playing, you would see how, at least versus the twos and the threes, he was dominating at times. Like, he was looking for people to block. That is not a statistic that is measured, but you know it when you see it, when you're evaluating the offensive line. If you are looking for people to block, that means you have neutralized your opponent. That is not something that we have been able to say about the Bears for a while. I don't think that it's wrong to reward him with the work that he's put in to get here. And I think the difference is, it's not just the work that he put in, it's the execution as well.
And Mark, I think we can both attest to this. If you go back to training camp, he was kind of in that mode even in training camp. Like, I'm trying to destroy anyone and everyone within reach. So that means if I get my first guy, I will look for someone else. He has almost, at least he did to me, a headhunter's mentality of blocking and the way that he kind of set things up early on in training camp when I was like, Theo Benedict, who's this? Right. And why is he getting like extra?
I thought he was a prop. I did.
What?
I thought he was a prop. Like when they were clearly not satisfied with anybody that was playing left tackle in training camp, when they were like, Ozzie Trapillo, ugh, not real sure about this, Braxton Jones, you know, this coaching staff is like really not seeing this whole thing. And then all of a sudden they put the guy in that had sat on the practice squad all of last year. Do you realize how tough the chances are of a guy like that being the starting left tackle on a team? So when we saw that, it reminded me of Braxton Jones a few years earlier when we're all reporters inside the Walter Payton Center and it's Braxton Jones's rookie year and we're all thinking Tevin Jenkins has got the beat on the left tackle, and then, oh my God, it's Braxton Jones, and that was no joke. So I guess maybe I should have learned from Ryan Poles. And I don't know that this is necessarily a Ryan Poles pushing to have this done. This feels more like Dan Roschar,
yeah,
the Bears offensive line coach. It feels more like Ben Johnson. But just the odds of this having happened, pretty low considering everything. So yeah, I did at first think it was just a prop to shake it up and to send a message to Braxton Jones and Ozzie Trapillo and anybody else that was getting a shot to try out. I was wrong.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score talking about Theo Benedict and how he fits into the Bears at the left tackle position tonight. I think the other thing too, though, is we know that when a new head coach comes to a team, there are going to be changes when it comes to talent evaluation and who is trusted and who isn't. And one of the fallacies, I think that I don't necessarily know that we promoted a fallacy, but I think we have been very adamant about Ryan Poles having to pick players that Ben Johnson thinks will fit on his team. But here's the thing. He did the same thing when Matt Eberflus was his head coach, which is why I always laugh when people are like trying to separate the two. They were very much married. There are players that I'm sure Ryan Poles drafted and that Matt Eberflus thought, this person is going to fit well with what we do. Because I don't think you get employed in any level of the NFL if that's not what you're doing. You have to work with who you think your head coach can play and can succeed with. So again, this is happening. This is an obvious truth in the league. When a new head coach comes on, he may not like how you fit on the team. The biggest example for me is always Khalil Mack. Because that was him coming to Chicago was the result of a coaching change. So the fact that it's a left tackle position where, frankly, I didn't think that he played well enough, Braxton Jones, and I've been on the record about it. Did he deserve the chance after he had been injured? Absolutely. Did his knowledge earn him at least the first several starts of the season? Yes. But there could be more change like this. This may be just a precursor to what we might see in snap count tonight and moving forward. And at least we know Ben Johnson's willing to say, this isn't good enough, and I need somebody else to be better.
Sometimes when you take an audit of what you have, your inventory, and you try to figure it out, you realize that, oh, we've taken this audit from this company the last 3 years, and nothing has gotten better. We need a new auditor. And so maybe the Dan Roschar and the Ben Johnson piece of this is just having a new auditor in-house, an in-house auditor saying, hey, I know you think this is what we should be doing, but after this last audit, I think we need to give this other guy a look. And that's what seemingly has happened with Theo Benedict as he slowly worked his way through. And Layla, I think you're right. I don't think it's going to be the last thing that changes. I think it's just the bullet point right now because, one, we're at the bye week. We're at the bye week. And two, this has been the biggest move we've seen so far.
Have I got to detract Mark Grody from his Bears skepticism? Absolutely not. I'm skeptic with you. But we, I think we knew there had to be some change.
Like I hope
this,
so.
This group wasn't going to get it done in the way we knew it starting or the way we knew the personnel grouping.
They're chipping away. You know what I mean? Like it's a slow chip. Like, okay, you put your Theo Benedet at left. Even like at the beginning of the season with
there's
the Nashawn,
no more fullback on the team. There's right. more tight end focus.
Roshan Johnson not even getting a sniff. That is chipping away at a roster and things that you didn't like. They don't like Roshan Johnson as a running back.
That's it. And mm-hmm. we have to accept that truth. And you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm not going to keep waiting for fetch to happen when it's not happening.
Fetch?
It's October 13th. Mean Girls references all over the place.
Oh, my bad.
Let's focus on the Cubs next. Robbie played that big requiem, that sad, sad moment that really opened the show.
Come back.
Grody keeps thinking about Jack on the plank in Titanic.
Come back.
So let's drown our sorrows together on this Monday.
Drown.
Get Cubs here, talk is next
Christ,
on the
pull
score.
Them up. Pull them out of the ice, Kate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And the Cubs are down to their last chance, trailing 3-1 here in the ninth inning. Carson Kelly must reach. Pete Crow Armstrong is on deck. He hits a bouncer to short, fielded by Ortiz over the first. It's all over. The National League Division Series, 3-2.
Man, this song. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. That was Pat and Ron on the Cubs Radio Network for the final time this season. They forced an all-important Game 5, the deciding and final game of the NLDS, but the Cubs go to Milwaukee, and they lose by a final of 3-1. And while I can't say I'm surprised, if you just told me, oh, the Cubs lost by a final 3-1 to Milwaukee, and they only managed 4 hits in the game, I'd be like, cool. That's a statement that unfortunately could apply during many points of the season. But they did all the things. They won the 2 games at home. They set it up. Do or die game 5. And unfortunately, the Cubs season comes to an end with a thud. And I feel like we all kind of have the same opinion. The 6th inning was a bit of a microcosm of the season. When you consider Aaron Ashby comes in, who the Cubs had had success against, replacing the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski. Michael Busch starts it with a hit. He gets a single, one of the 4 they had in the game, 4 hits total. Nico Hoerner gets hit by a pitch. And then Kyle Tucker's up, and he strikes out swinging. There's a 6-pitch at bat, and he strikes out on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. Then Seiya Suzuki, your other hope for run production, lines out to Jackson Chourio. And then, unfortunately, Ian Happ called out on strikes. That was a 6-pitch at bat as well. He gets a called strike on the cutter. And that's where I felt they weren't coming back.
And then it hurt even more in the 7th when pain in the ass, Terang hits a home run to make it 3-1 Milwaukee.
Wasn't just a home run, though. It was a bomb.
It
was
truly
straight
was
away center fielder.
For the good lane. And not just that, but it echoed a theme that had happened during this playoff series. It was a 2-out home run. They had no problem scoring with two outs, did they? The entire series.
No, that was kind of their thing. The Brewers beat the Cubs in the clutch. I want to go back to that Kyle Tucker bat. I want to go back to the fact that, it was a six-pitch at bat, but that fifth pitch where you work the count, it's 3-1. Here comes the heat. You know the heat is coming, and he couldn't hit the heat.
Give him the heater.
He couldn't hit it. That was the pitch. You work your way all the way to a 3-1 count. You know you're going to get a pitch to hit, a strike that's going to be called, whether you swing at it or not, and you swing at it, and you can't get it. And that was the at-bat right there. And too often, it has come down to just the one pitch for the Cubs. Their margin of error has been so tight. Not just in the back half of the season, which, they played just above 500 baseball, but also in these playoffs, it's been that slim margin of error. And I was thinking, what could have gone differently for this team? But unless you're replacing one of these hitters, the result was going to be the same any way you look at it.
It's also a really, even in the, when you look at the at-bat itself, it's a really confident plan. Like, the Brewers are kind of telling you how they feel about their pitchers versus Cubs hitters in the way that whole at-bat was called, because they worked backwards. It was sinker, sinker, then the slider. Then they go to the fastball. So that kind of lets you know they're willing to open up with usually you try to fastball somebody in your first pitch unless they're absolutely hunting for it. But you're so confident in your pitcher's stuff in those moments that you have no issue going backwards like that to then finish him with a basic fastball. There wasn't anything basic about it at 98.6, so that was a good pitch. But he's challenging you in that moment. And then the advantage went to Ashby and ultimately the Brewers.
Yeah, but Chad Patrick actually comes into the game. He faces Saya. Let us not forget, Saya throttled that baseball. Like, did anybody in this room not think that that ball was going to get down or land in the gap? I mean, it was just a little bit off. So while it was an epic fail and it sucked, I mean, he did crush that baseball. What made me even more angry maybe in this game, though, or the really harsh part, was in the fourth inning, 3-2 count on Mr. Andrew Vaughn. 3-2, two outs, and he hit it over the wall, and then made it 2-1 to Milwaukee. So I'll add that to rival the anger that I think everybody was probably feeling in that 60, because you had it. You had a real chance to get back in the boat.
It was the ball he fouled off before that. He's a mistake hitter. He likes to hit mistakes. He searches for them, and he does a good job with it. The foul in that pitch right before the one that he hit, that we thought was a laser,
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he, like, that was the one, and he made something out of nothing when he did what he could. Shows you what kind of hitter he's maturing into too, because he had a really good past couple of months.
How about Jacob?
Really past month. I'm good with a month.
How about the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, changing it up a little bit and not throwing more off-speed stuff or throwing more curves and sliders than he was fastballs? Because remember, he was
sick.
Just throwing heat the first time around. Now, obviously, it was pretty sick when Saya got him for that homer when they were exchanging home runs in that game. But like, I give them credit. The game plan that they had, because the Cubs probably would have squared up the 102, 103 this time, because eventually you do when you see it that quickly again. And they changed the game plan for him, and that was some smart managing on whomever's idea that was.
I think this game comes down to what you just talked about, which is the two-strike approach of the Brewers in their clutch situations versus the two-strike approach of the Cubs and what they were not able to do with two strikes. If you just look at runners in scoring position with two out, over the course of two series, the Cubs had 20 at-bats. They got just two hits. One of them was the home run we all know about. But the Brewers, remember, they only played in one series so far, but they were 5 of 18. They OPS'd over 1,000 when it was two outs, runners in scoring position. The only team that looked better than them in those situations, driving in more runs, was the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they're the Dodgers, mm-hmm, getting six hits with 20 and 28 at bats.
I'm obsessed with two-strike approach. I'm obsessed with two-out approach. But really, it also just means you have good hitters.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. When you can hit with two outs, it means your lineup's deep. It means you're not concerned. Now, Bryce Terang, that means that you turned over your lineup enough to dial up your number three batter. Yeah, that's part of it is a function of other good things taking place.
I just, as I said, I keep replaying what happened, and I just wonder what the Cubs could have done differently. Mizorowski, obviously the difference in the series, if you want to go big picture with two wins in the series, in a five-game series. But from a hitting standpoint, what did you want the Cubs to do differently in terms of, hey, replace this guy with that guy? It just, those options weren't there.
You had your best hitters in the lineup, period. For your team specifically. You had your most consistent hitters. Now, you could argue like Moises Ballesteros' bat may be more effective at certain times. That's why he was pinch hit for. I didn't have a problem with the lineup. We got a lot of calls, guys. We got a lot of people wanting to call us.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, look at those phone lines lit up.
Are we doing calls at 11?
Should we talk that talk?
I think we should.
Let's do you calls know, at 11.
We've had a bunch of good Cubs calls this playoff series. I don't want to shortchange our listeners. So we will get our more Cubs thoughts in. I think we can extend this another day. I know we got a lot of thoughts, and there's Bears too. So we will, we got to give it to the people, man. So let's do that next. 312-644-6767. Your Cubs reaction to this playoff run being over next on Raheem Harrison Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.